Well, good morning, Harvest family. Well, what a wonderful day to serve the Lord, amen? A little bit of rain outside, a little liquid sunshine to get some of the mess out of the air, clear the air, set a little dust a little bit, and looking forward to a wonderful day, and looking forward for a day. Those of you who may be visiting with us, we want to encourage you to come back tonight. Today actually celebrates Michelle and I's 1 year as being pastor and first lady here at Harvest Baptist Church. And so we're thrilled about that. And this evening, we're going to have a quartet here singing for us, Higher Call, have a time of fellowship and soup and bread in the fellowship hall after the evening service. And so that's tonight. And again, we're looking forward. Then next week, Michelle and I will celebrate 41 years of marriage. And so what she about to put sainthood on her, stay with me that long, amen. But we're so glad to be here, looking forward to what God has us. Now we switched the service around just a little bit, but instead of the choir opening, we're going to open with a congregational song. So let's all stand together. We'll have a word of prayer, have our congregational song, and we'll go forward with our service. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, thank you for blessing Miss Michelle and I being able to be a part of this church family over the last 52 weeks. What a joy it's been. Lord, like with anything in life, there's always a few bumps in the road or speed bumps here and there, but God has been so good to us as through this transition. Pray that you continue to bless, continue to add to our church, and may we strive foremost, Lord, to glorify you in that which we say and do. And we'll be careful to thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Sam?
249, Heaven Came Down, 249. Or you have the strings.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart.
Have a seat.
has held the oceans in his hands, who has numbered every grain of sand.
Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice.
Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds?
Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him.
Upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man.
God.
Come back!
Is it live or Memorex? Amen. All right, as we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer, please join me and join our men as we pray. As I pray for our men, and they pray for me. We pray for our church family. And let's God has God to work and move in a miraculous way today in our service. So let's look to Him in prayer. Father, as we come before Thy throne, we want to thank You and praise You for Your goodness to us, Your mercy that You've bestowed upon us. Father, help us not take for granted this beautiful facilities that You have allowed us to have here debt-free. And Father, what a blessing it is to come and help us not to take these things for granted, but be here when we can. And I know, Father, there's times where we're providentially hindered in illness, and so much illness has gone through here over the last several weeks. But Father, we're so grateful for those who are back on the mend that are here in church today. Father, I thank You for these men here that are here present with us today, that You would put a hedge about them, Father. Protect them from sin. Protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, help us to be the men that You'd have us to be, the leaders of our home, the leaders in our church, the leaders in our community. Father, help us to portray the attributes of Jesus in and through our life that others would take notice and recognize something different about a godly man. Father, I pray that You'd be with our ladies here in the church, some of who stand behind some of these men, others, Lord, that may be widowed or single yet. Father, that You just be with them, bless them, encourage them. What a blessing our ladies of Harvest are to this pastor and to his wife and to our church family. The words of encouragement, the notes of encouragement and letting us know that they're praying for us and encouraging us, Father. Would You bless them? Would You encourage them? Would You use them to be that representation as well in our community of a godly woman? Father, bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, protect them as well from sin and physical harm and distress. Help our church family, Lord, not only individually, but collectively as a whole, Father, that we'd be united, that we'd move together forward as we strive to serve You as one. Father, bless in Your midst today. May You be uplifted and glorified through the preaching of the Word of God. Already, Father, what a blessing the congregational song singing has been, the choir, the special musical. Oh, what a blessing, Father, to prepare our hearts for the preaching of Thy Word. And Father, once again, as we prepare to have one more special music, the reading of Your Word, Father, may we tune our hearts and minds into You and to Your Word, and may You have free reign in our hearts and in this building today. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Have your Bibles this morning, turn to Luke chapter 22. Well, my theme for the next several weeks is killing Jesus, and today the thought on the conspiracy. And Lord willing, we'll get through chapter 22, chapter 23, and we'll start chapter 24 on Easter Sunday. So you pray with me as I prepare, and hopefully this will line out that way. But we will see what the Lord and how the Lord helps me in doing that. Luke chapter number 22, beginning in verse number 1, with a thought today with the theme of killing Jesus, the conspiracy. Luke chapter 22 and verse 1. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray Him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give Him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray Him unto them in the absence of the multitude.
Love knows no end, for Jesus has saved us and made us His own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we dream together.
just inside the city. As we enter in, there'll be no more parting. With Jesus we'll be together. We share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven. When we all get to heaven. When we all get to heaven.
Thank you so much, ladies. Thank you for those who are involved in special music and in the choir. It is greatly appreciated. If you have your Bibles this morning, we've already read our text this morning and prayed a little bit earlier. We'll go ahead and take right off this morning with the aspect of killing Jesus as our theme, and this morning, the conspiracy. Some of you may be aware of a best-selling book titled Killing Jesus. The author may have some of his history right, but he was way off on his attempt on theology. Of course, he may be a bit biased because he was he did grow up Catholic, but far nonetheless, even Notre Dame said it was far from being flawless. I think she was referring to the history as well as theology in his book. She also said of the first 80 or so pages of Killing Jesus, only 15 are about Jesus himself. The rest is history, biography, politics of the ancient Mediterranean. Though I have read the book myself, I do not recommend it, and I am not concerned about what the professor at Notre Dame had to say. It's all fictional, just all made up. Though not concerned about what the author said in his book, I am concerned about what the Bible says about why and how Jesus really died. Over the next several weeks, we'll study the book of Luke, chapter number 22, and we'll look at killing Jesus, Satan's possession of Judas, the Passover, Jesus' prayer for Peter, the betrayal of Jesus, the work of Satan and greed, and of course, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear friends, the enemies of Jesus became very intense in their hostility in the last weeks of his earthly ministry. They conspired how they could kill Jesus. And dear friends, as Americans, we love a good conspiracy, and some of you a little more than others. But we'll look at number one this morning as we look at the people in the conspiracy. The people in the conspiracy. The Bible says in verse number two, chief priests and scribes. Boy, the Word of God points out they may have very well tried to meet and do things in secret, but God recorded them. These men, again, may have conspired in secret, but God has exposed their identity here in the Scriptures. The leaders of the conspiracy, as I mentioned, recorded here. Notice their identity. The enemies of Jesus were the religious leaders of Israel. Instead of following Jesus, they were leading the conspiracy against him. It is still that way almost 2,000 years later. Organized religion provides more opposition to the gospel of Christ than any other organization. There's a lot of pretend-to-bes or I used to be's out there. Not only their identity, notice the influence that they have. Their influence. Satan delights to have his program promoted by those in high and respected positions and authority and places. College professors, again, not all, but college professors with more degrees than the thermometer promote evolution. Our liberal judges approve rioting, theft, abortion, and even the homosexual lifestyle. So-called ministers in prominent woke churches support such evils and deny great Bible truths. Again, it's been kind of that frog in the kettle throughout our history in America, how things are changed. Even our great schools at one time that were theologically correct, training young preachers, are now become very liberal and far from where and how they started. Here, as we look at the conspiracy and the people, we also notice their inexcusable actions of these people. This crowd, especially the scribes, knew the scriptures and had access to it, unlike the common man or common citizen of that day. If anyone would have known who Jesus was, they should have known. They are without excuse. And dear friends, we live in a day very similar to that, where we have the Word of God. The common man, woman, boy, and girl have a copy of the Word of God to read for themselves, yet there are still others of higher education authority that try to tear those things down. Not only do we see the people in the conspiracy, but notice the Passover in the conspiracy there in verse number 1 as well. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. See, the Passover was the highest religious observance of the year on the Jewish religious religious calendar. But those religious leaders were conspiring the death of a man who had done nothing but good. Dear friends, those who hate Jesus often have no respect for the most sacred places and occasions here in our land today. Not much of change. In fact, I think it's gotten worse because our population has grown. Where more people should be coming to know Christ, it seems to be fewer and fewer. And on the other side, they seem to be growing in animosity. Yes, the people of the conspiracy. And number 2 this morning, notice the Passover in the conspiracy. Verse number 1, once again, number 3, the purpose of the conspiracy. The people, the Passover, and now the purpose of the conspiracy. The chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him. See, the purpose of the conspiracy by the religious leaders was simply put to kill Jesus. The enemies of the gospel still want to eliminate Christ even today. If you watch any ball games, you watch anything have taken place of late, we had a young quarterback who wanted to give honor, glory, to praise to Jesus after a victory, and he was cut off. But yet, another person, a little more popular, quoted scripture, and for some reason his was allowed to air. I'm glad we got at least 1 out of 2. But yet today, so many that are in a position who want to be shut down or to be cut off when they speak up. Apostates in religion do not want Jesus in their theology. Look at some of our higher education in top schools, so-called Ivy League schools. I believe are more like poison ivy. Atheists, not only apostates, do not want public music at Christmas that mentions the name of Jesus or the Christ child. Many write Christmas as Xmas, an attempt to eliminate Christ. Folks, I don't know about you. I took every opportunity and do every year when Christmas comes around to make sure that I include his name. I don't say happy holidays, but Merry Christmas and Happy New Year afterwards. Dear friends, again, many Christians in this world today is also have fallen guilty of this. The apostates, the atheists, and then the worldly crowd wants to get rid of Jesus, and weak Christians want to water him down. Dear friends, don't be a weak, carnal Christian. Don't be anemic. Be proud of who you are in Christ. Don't take the opportunity to share Christ and share your faith when that opportunity arises. The religious crowd tries to make cults more conventional than Christians. They deny the Holocaust and support Palestine and terrorism in our world today. I read an article last week where they're even allowing these satanic clubs in our public school systems. And they're trying to teach and emphasize of how good Satan is and not of who he really is. Yes, read the news a little bit. Take the time to turn off what you might see on TV and the local news and pick up a Christian periodical or some other news that will tell you the truth about what's going on and won't water it down. Dear friends, they claim they want tolerism, but they don't want to extend it to those that may think differently than they do. Dear friends, let me tell you what, they can think all they want, they can be wrong all they want. God will take care of it one day, because the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. They have their rights to be right, they have their rights to be wrong, but I'm going to stand for the truth, I'm going to stand for the Word of God, I'm not going to fall into the conspiracy of what's taking place, but stand true to God's Word and preach it without apology.
I'm afraid today we have too many preachers that will stand and that will not stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. God help us for these noodleback preachers that are more concerned about pleasing a crowd, getting people in and building buildings instead of saying, thus saith the Lord. And by the way, it's not real popular when you get your toes stepped on. But I tell you what, we're to say amen and thank God for a preacher who's willing to preach the word without apology. We're to get excited when we get under conviction because that's the assurance of, hey, I'm one of his. He's just getting my attention and telling me I'm doing wrong. Amen? Hey, that's what it's all about. He will get our attention if we are one of his. The people, the Passover, the purpose, and number four, the problem in the conspiracy in verse number two. It says he sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Boy, what a scheme. See, the popularity of Jesus caused a conspiring plan to catch and kill him. That's what it was all about. It grew in popularity, but they were trying to keep the people in the dark about their plan. Sound familiar? Yeah, keeping the people in the dark. See, not much has changed today about secrecy and conspiring of our leaders. Pallets of money being shipped off that no one knows about. Other things going on behind scenes. Opening up, causing a smoke screen over here and making changes over here. Dear friends, we need to wake up. We need to realize that we need, God's people can need to continue to pray for our leadership, our country. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Keep bombarding the throne of grace and say, God, please make a change. God, please do something. Lord, use me in some way. Lord, help me not to fall to the conspiracy or to become weak or watered down or a lukewarm Christian. But help me to charge on. Yes, dear friends, the problem of the conspiracy, they sought out because they feared the people to do what they were doing in secrecy. Number five, they're promoting. By the way, they might have been doing things in secret, and God may be exposing them here later, and years later through the Word of God, but it was no surprise to God what he was doing. There's no surprise to Jesus what was going on because he willingly gave himself. But then once again, here they are, meeting in secret. And by the way, working behind the scenes, trying to do something you know you shouldn't be doing. Jesus knows. The Holy Spirit knows. And sometimes the Holy Spirit reveals things to the leadership of the church. Verse number three, the promoting of the conspiracy. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. See, what really got the conspiracy against Jesus moving was the cooperation of a Judas Iscariot. See, without him, the religious leaders would have had a hard time arresting Jesus. See, I believe Judas is still lingering and promoting his agenda in the midst of ministry today. They're still out there. They're still causing problems. They're still pretending to be something they are not. They're just kind of blending in. Notice the person in the conspiracy there in the latter part of verse number three, Judas, surnamed Iscariot. See, the last place one would expect to find a promoter of the conspiracy to kill Jesus was among the 12 disciples, but there he was. Matthew Henry said this, "It is hard to say whether more mischief is done to Christ's kingdom by the power and policy of its open enemies or by the treachery and self-seeking of his pretended friends." Oh, God help us. Oh, I trust and pray there's no one among our crowd today, among any crowd that may come in the future of Harvest or any other church of like faith that are moving in to do what they can just to destroy the ministry within. The pursuit in the conspiracy in reference to the promoting in verse 4. He went on his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. See, Judas went to the religious leaders rather than them coming to him. See, he was not strong-armed into doing this evil. He volunteered to help. Dear friends, I wonder how many pretenders are volunteering to destroy the church today. I could tell you stories, and I won't take the time to go into all of them, but if I was to share just one of a gentleman that I heard tell the story, a well-known evangelist who told the story of a church in Texas where a cult moved in and decided they were going to do all they can to infiltrate the church, and they became in one at a time. In fact, one of the young ladies, her sole responsibility was to seduce the leadership of the church, starting with the pastor. They had a game plan. But praise God, they failed, had a good godly man as pastor, good men and good deacons in the church. They spied it out, they realized what was going on, and they were able to take care of it. But that was the goal when they were exposed, and right there within their own community, what was located was that very cult trying to destroy them. The problem in the conspiracy, the promoting in the conspiracy. Notice also not only the person, the pursuit, but the pretense there again in verse 4, how they might betray him unto them. You see, betrayal involves lying, dishonesty, disloyalty. Judas betrayed everyone around him, and especially Jesus. Here again in the next verse of verse 5, we see the pleasure in reference to the promoting. It says in verse 5, they were glad. They were glad to hear the news that Judas was willing to give them what they wanted. These religious leaders were thrilled about the opportunity to betray Jesus. And dear friends, what is it that we're doing? What else would you call it when you do things contrary to the Word of God? What else do you call it when you try to cause another brother or sister in Christ to fall? What else do you call it when you try to disrupt a ministry that's trying to live for and serve the Lord and reach others for the cause of Christ other than betrayal? The pact there, as I mentioned, they coveted to give him money. See, these evil men in the midst were in the midst of evil, and the evil men laugh at dirty jokes. They rejoice when God's people are hurt. Yes, again, evil men rejoice in the midst of evil. And they packed it together, Judas and these scribes and these Pharisees. They coveted to give him money. See, Judas and the religious leaders made a deal to work together. And very often, it's usually not just one. If it starts with one, they look for a partner real quick. And before long, there might be one, then two, then three. And then before long, who knows how many there may be. But here we are. Notice, first of all, with this pact. First, the money. They coveted to give him money. Their friends, I tell you what. For any carnal Christian, any unsaved person, I guess it would be hard to say what they would not do for the right amount of money. 30 pieces of silver is all it took for him to betray Jesus. Money was not the only thing in this pact. For the other Gospels, we learn the amount was 30 pieces of silver in Matthew chapter 26. But not only was there the money, there was also the malice. It says they promised to betray him. Not only to give him money, but to betray him. Betrayal is a low down and wicked behavior. But that's exactly what Judas did. That is exactly what the one who held the bag. That is exactly the one that followed and was with Jesus and with the other 11, pretending to be something he was not. Where and when he decided to betray the Lord, I do not know. But can you imagine the pretending and going along, just looking for an opening? Then we see not only the money, the malice, but the multitude. In the absence of the multitude, when they were not there, the Bible says the religious leaders were concerned about the public finding out about their plans to kill Jesus. So they got Judas to agree to do his dirty deed. The Bible says, in the absence of the multitude. Everything must be done secretly. Dear friends, Satan and his clan always lurks in dark places. Dear friends, we must understand and come to the point and realize we are stronger and there are strength in numbers. That's why I encourage you to be in the house of God when you can. That's why I encourage you men when you can to come to the fellowship time, so to meet together in fellowship, not only just at church, but outside of church. It's encouraging to hear some of our men getting together here and there at a coffee shop here, at a coffee shop there, or meeting to go out to the desert to shoot something. But getting together and fellowshipping and spending time together because there's strength in numbers. And the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. And they sought out that they might be absent from the multitude, that they might do what they needed to do. And once again, dear friends, Satan and his clan always lurk in the darkness. Then we see not only, but lastly, the provision in the conspiracy as we look at the promotion of the conspiracy. It says he sought opportunity to betray him unto them. Not just to betray him, but to let them know he is the Jesus. He is the one. He is the one that you're after. And he let them know, and he betrayed them. Judas was eager to betray Jesus, and he watched for a good opportunity to carry out his deed. Dear friends, I wonder how popular Jesus would be today if Christians were as serious about doing right. How serious are we about doing right? How on ball and prepared are we ready in service to the Lord and sniffing out and noticing what is going afoul and what is wrong that we might do right and correct a problem? Lord, help me to stay on the right path. Lord, help me to stay in your word. Lord, help me to surround myself by others that would encourage me, that would challenge me, and that would ask me the hard questions that I might stay clean and do right and continue with my service to the Lord. Dear friends, here in these first few verses of Luke chapter 22, we see this conspiracy to kill Jesus, to arrest him, to bound him, and to eventually to take him to an old rugged cross. And over the next several weeks, we'll go a little deeper into the story and the things that take place. But dear friends, like many other things, it took people to do what they did. And we see during even the time of the religious holiday, the Passover meant nothing to them because they put all religious and practice beliefs aside, even though it being the Passover, to scheme to go after Jesus. And their purpose, of course, was of no good. As they reached the problem and the promoting of the conspiracy, we see here that God knew exactly what was going on. God allowed the things to take place. But dear friends, let's make sure that we're not part of any conspiracy. Let's make sure that we're alert and of what's going on and how we can handle and serve the Lord. Don't be fooled by the devil into thinking, well, the Bible tells us the world's going to wax worse and worse. It must be closer to Jesus coming. Yes, every day is a little closer, but we don't throw in a towel. We don't give up because we can't control it. We do all that we can while we can, no matter what's going on around us. We stay faithful, we stay true, and we continue to serve God as we are, where we are, the best that we can. Don't allow a conspiracy. Don't allow the world around you to be crumbling to cause you to give in or just to back off. Folks, this is time that we should be high charging and do all we can to live right, to do right, and serve the Lord and expose those that are trying to work contrary to the Word of God. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed, and no one looking around this morning, and our panelists will make her way. Begin playing as soon as she has opportunity. I wonder this morning if there's anyone here that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. I wonder if there's here today a Christian that maybe has allowed the things of the world to discourage them and keep them from serving in the capacity they should be serving. I wonder if there's a family here today that is so burdened and overwhelmed with what's going on, but they still want to pray and they want to serve. They want to do all they can. Whatever category you fall in this morning, if the Word of God has challenged you, encouraged you, or reminded you in any way, why not do business with the Lord and say, Lord, speak to my heart. Father, help me, strengthen me. And if it's Lord, forgive me, say, Lord, forgive me and help me to go forward. But are we doing all we can in the service of the King? Father, would you bless now during this time of invitation? Speak to the hearts of your people, and may they respond according to thy word. We ask in Jesus' name. Hands are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Our pianist is playing just a verse or two of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart.